series entitled Made. And last week, we talked about being the product of a perfect blueprint. Basically, that you don't have to go and try to examine whether or not you are what God determined or says you are. You are cut from a perfect blueprint, made in the image and likeness of God. And my prayer is that when you left out of here last week, that I don't normally say this kind of stuff, but it may appear arrogant, but I hope you ran into somebody that may not have thought that you were much, but that you looked at them as if to say, you have no idea how bad I am. Because you are created in the image and essence, likeness of God. This morning I want to talk from the thought, no stone unturned. No stone unturned. Listen, we deal in Genesis with the idea that God simply made humanity with beautiful craftsmanship of the Lord's hands, breathed into man, took a piece of man, made woman. Humanity encompasses the very essence of who God is. God is not based upon gender, but bigger than all that. We, collective, all of us, are created in the image and essence, likeness of God. But when we read the Genesis account, it always seems to be simple. And the things that I understand about life is that some things are simple and some things are a little more complex. So just for the purposes of muddying up some understanding, as simple as the Genesis account may be, it is hard for me to believe that God simply made humanity, poof, pow, that was it. And there was like no intricate design associated. That's hard for me to even begin to quantify. Have y'all ever been in biology class? Human body is very unique, right? Got all these parts that gotta work together to make it work well, right? Got a brain that basically governs everything, nerves connected to the brain, you know, you got the spinal cord that goes through the vertebrae and everything else. You got nerves all around your body, 206 bones in the body, heart gotta work, everything. All this stuff has to work. If one part ain't working, everything in your body feels it. All gotta work together. The human body is complex, and here it is. Each and every one of y'all is complex. I don't care what anybody said. Everybody up in here is complex. Let's see him. All of us in here, if we had to order some pizza, we ain't getting the same stuff, right? Complex. Everybody ain't gonna eat a cheese pizza. Matter of fact, I almost detest anybody that buys a cheese pizza and doesn't think about a brother like me that want more than about 20 toppings on my pizza. You feel what I'm saying? Complex. You know, I, you know, some people will try to invite me over to eat with them. And because they look at melanin count, they'll assume that we're the same. So, okay, that flew over your head. Let me try that again. Some of us, because of melanin count, will assume that we're the same when it comes to things that we like. And as I said earlier over at Claire, I'll say it again. There's some folk that like chitlins. Guess what? If you invite me over to eat, I'm going to eat everything else but them chitlins. You know why? Because I don't get down like that. And guess what? And guess what? And guess what? And guess what? You can have my share. Ain't nothing wrong with what you like. But I ain't eating. And it ain't because I don't believe you don't clean them and all that kind of stuff. But guess what? I just don't get down like that. Right? Complexities. Right? There are people in this world that have the audacity to eat a steak well done. If you want shoe leather, that is on you. God bless you. May heaven smile upon you. I do not criticize your preferences in food, but as for me and my house, you know, medium does just fine. Complex. Everybody has complexity. Because we come from a God that though God will present himself as simple, God also presents as complex. Because everybody in here knows God to be a specific thing in their life, right? When you're saved, you know God is the Lord of your life. When you're sick, you know God is a healer. When you are lacking peace, you know that God is your peace. If you need joy, God is joy. You know, all these different things. Everybody doesn't know all these aspects of God because they haven't encountered every aspect of God. Yeah. So if God is complex, as in more sides than just one box that we try to put God in, then if we're cut from said God, then all of us are what? Different. But the thing that we have in common is that the areas of our lives that are dealt with are the same. Now, we don't always talk like this because we're like, well, everybody's journey is different. Yes, it is. But general areas of life are still the same. You got some stuff that you deal with, even if you don't deal with it like I do. But there are general things that we all deal with, right? Most of us, we would say we're a part of a family, whether we're the heads of our own family or we're a part of a greater whole. I think all of us in here can honestly say that within our families, there are some folk we don't like to deal with. That's a general thing. there's people in our family that are our favorites. That's a general thing. All of us have general things that we deal with and we address and all that kind of stuff. So the complexity of life is everything is complex and then there are still some simplicities. I know this sounds so convoluted so far, but stay with me. We read an entire song, 24 verses to a song, 24 bars to a song written by a writer who's going through introspection, a writer that we know to be David. This is one of the 73 attributed to him. And David has a way of writing that is always introspective and dealing with the complexities of his life. And if you holler at us on Wednesday, you'll see how complex his life really is. That was a plug for Bible study. Dude is complex. Let me prove it. Because someone challenged me today. How are you going to fit all this into a sermon? Let me show you how this works. Let's read it. Oh Lord, you searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up, you discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, oh Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in, behind, before, and you lay a hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, and I cannot attain it. Think about what David is saying. David is saying that God is a God of personal interaction. Mm-hmm. You know all about me. Mm-hmm. You know all my moves. Yes. You know all my thoughts. You know my thoughts before I know my thoughts. You're so much God that I can't even begin to understand every element and aspect of who you are. You are so vast that it goes beyond anything that I could ever understand. My thoughts can't even begin to comprehend how deep you are. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, if I make my bed in Sheol, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me. Your right hand shall hold me. Even if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night. Even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as a light with you. I can't hide from you. God is so vast, I can't hide. I can't run. I can't come up with a strategy to hide myself because you're there. I can be on top of the world. I can be in my lowest of low. You're there. Everything can be going good in my life. Tragedy could be happening. But guess what? You're there. Ain't that good news? You're there. David is saying, I cannot get around you. My thoughts and your thoughts towards me blow my mind. But now into the next transition of his song. For you formed my inward parts. This is where you get into the complexity of how God deals with us. If you thought it was just blow and into dust and man became a living soul, David has a different view. You formed my inward parts and knitted me together in my mother's womb. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. Listen to this. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. You knew me before anybody knew me. And you set my days before I ever had one day in the earth. The word is talking for us. I ain't even got to nothing yet. Because you see, my goal as a pastor, as a preacher, as a teacher, is that every person gets a real understanding of the word of God in such a way that you don't even have to be extremely deep to catch the deep revelation. Sometimes you gotta read the Bible. Think about this. Knew everything before any way that I came on the scene. Knew my days. Knew my journey. Knew where he wanted me to end up before I ever came into the world. So if you think that you are a waste of time for any reason, David has said, no way in the world that your life is a waste. God took so much care about your existence that in the book that is written, he said, I already know the number of days. I know exactly what I want this person to be. I know what David is supposed to be. I know where I want him to end up. I know what he is fully capable of being. I know everything before anybody else knows it. Mm-hmm. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you. You thought enough of me to hang around me.
Amen.
And check this out. When I get up in the morning, you haven't left me alone. I'm just reading the Bible, y'all. Is that okay? I'm just reading the Bible. Now we deal with David's issue, or one of them. If you have been with us on Wednesday, you know that David got beef with people that got beef with God. Because David fought Goliath not out of ego, but because he was beefing with the fact that Goliath was beefing with God. And he had to listen to people that allowed somebody to talk mess about his God in public. Right? So listen to what he says. He says this: "Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. O men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with a complete hatred. I count them my enemies." In other words, I'm beefing with whoever got something to say about you. I ain't got time to fool with people that don't see you for who you are. We ain't got nothing to talk about if you have taken in vain the name of my God. I'll go further in a few more minutes with that. But hear David out at the end. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. No matter what I do, God, search me from the inside out. Try my intentions and make sure there's nothing in me that don't look like you. And lead me where you want me to go." That's David talking. God created us in such a way that even as unique as we are, even as different as we are, God created us in such a way that he's already put in place safeguards to preserve us and to help us navigate through this thing called life. We may be cut from a perfect blueprint, but we don't always walk out perfectly. Because we are now we deal with the issue, what? Of sin and corruption and everything else. So where we are today is not like Adam and Eve. We're trying to learn how to what? Walk towards what? The things of God, and to live in such a way that we reflect the God we serve. So even in the mess that happened in the beginning, God already created safeguards to be in place to protect us from all types of angles. So there are things that come into our lives and test us. There are places in our lives that get tested that always come our way, but we have to know those angles and know how God has already set up what protection from those angles. So I'm going to give you 5 angles that things come at us and that God covers. Y'all ready? Because this is the quick part. First angle that's covered by God are your thoughts. First angle is your thoughts. How you think. Bible says, what as a person thinks, that's a lot of things start here. If I think I'm worthless, no, notice I didn't say if anybody called me worthless. If I think I'm worthless, I will function according to that thought. But if I think and know that I'm a child of God, then more than likely I will function according to that idea. If I think that God will keep me, 9 times out of 10, I will function according to that thought. If that thought is in my mind, it is because it came from a source of relationship and understanding about the God that I serve. So when I come to a situation and somebody tells me that something can't be done, and my thoughts are there is nothing impossible with God, it is rooted in the understanding that God is able to do what nobody else can do. David said, "You know me." And everything David said was not just God knowing him, but him also saying, what? I know you. I know that you think things towards me. I know that you will protect me. I know you will keep me. Somebody in here needs their mind changed. A lot of what we deal with in the life of the church, a lot of the things we deal with just in life, period, begins with what? Your thoughts. Paul writes later that what? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. If your thoughts are off, other stuff will be off. If your thoughts are on point, guess what? Your stuff will be on point. It begins with your mind. Listen to what David says in the text again. You got me covered, what? Front of me, behind me, and you what? You got your hand on me. When my son comes around me at home, and he's still learning about making sure to follow a process. That's my thing with CJ is I'm teaching him how to what? Follow a process. And when he begins to start flying everywhere with his thoughts, I'm asking him to do something. He starts trying to do a bunch of things. The first thing I do with my son when he's within arm's length of me is that I lay my hand on his head. And people be like, well, you're just trying to calm him down. No. It's representative. I lay my hand on his head and I stop him. At first, he'll try to move and try to do his own thing. But he picks up on the fact that he needs to what? Be still and what? Focus his thoughts. If I'm telling him to look for something, don't tell me you can't find it. You didn't look. So my right hand goes on his beautiful, well-cut hair and his curly hair. And I say, just try and look again. And he slows down. And he's able to what? Find what he's looking for. Because his father's what? Hand is on. Sometimes you need to know that the Lord's hand is on you so you can start what? Thinking differently about the situations you're facing. Rather than crying first, maybe, just maybe, you need to be reminded that God has got you covered first. And you haven't forgotten anything about where you are or anything else. God has already given you the answer. But maybe, just maybe, you need to know today that God has got his hand on you so that you can what? Stop, be still, and be reminded that everything is all right. Covers your thoughts. Second thing. Lord covers your spirit. Covers your spirit. Verse 7 says, where can I go from your spirit? Not a place. Everybody in here got a story like this. Have you ever messed up so bad that you wanted to run and hide from God? Y'all too quiet. I need to leave if y'all that quiet. I need to go to a different church if y'all that quiet. Have you ever done something so bad in your mind that you wanted to hide from God and you just knew that God was just going to lay you out and everything else because someone told you that God don't love you after all that? No. Ain't that what happened to Adam and Eve? They messed up and all of a sudden what did they say? We were trying to hide from you. God says, guess what? Ain't no way you can go. I'm there. There is nothing that God can't fix. There is nothing that God can't restore your soul. There is nothing that God is unable to do when it comes to your spirit. Wait for it. If you let the Lord do it. While you're trying to fix it, God's saying, just let me handle it. There's nothing you can do. You can't get around me. I'm here. And I'm here because I know at some point you're going to stumble and fall on your face. Okay, let me lighten the mood. Have you ever tripped in the public?
Yeah.
And you had the audacity to try to play it off? And wait, all it did was get worse? Oh, man. Listen, it gets bad when you're trying to take control of it, and all anybody will do, if you trip and you just fall, folk will probably be more concerned about you, hitting the ground. Folk don't laugh until you start trying to catch yourself. Okay, y'all ain't gonna say it, I'll say it. I don't start laughing until I start seeing people try to catch themselves. I'll be like, just go down. And let somebody help you up. No, you're trying to catch yourself. You stumbling over here, stumbling over here. You done fell over extra stuff over here. If you would have just tripped and just fell. If you would have just went on down, you'd have been all right. But no, you're trying to catch yourself. No, the Lord is trying to tell you, look, there is nothing that you can do without me, and I'm here to what? Preserve you. Even when you're embarrassed, I'm here to preserve you. Even when you struggle, I'm here to preserve you. I'm not going to let anything harm you. I'm not going to let anything take you out. Look at what happened with Job. What did God say? The devil said he'll turn his back on you when I take his stuff. You're like, go ahead. You take all his stuff, mess with his environment. Don't touch his soul. His soul's mine. And I believe so much in Job, he ain't gonna turn his back on me. He may stumble, he may get mad, he may get upset, but I got that part. And what did Job do? He came out and came through it, he processed all that stuff, and he came out better on the other side. God's got your spirit. Don't worry about what other folk may do. Don't worry about what other things may come about. God's got you what? Covered. God covers also the body, this vehicle that we use to what? Execute the will of God. You know my inward parts, which lets me know that God is not only concerned about my spirit, not just concerned about my thoughts, but God is literally concerned about everything that is happening within my being. Some of you in here knows how much God cares about your being because you have been healed by the hand of God.
Yes.
Some of you in here know how deep it is that even when you had to be on the operating table, God sent the right person by to do the work that needed to be done. And guess what? You are not on said operating table, but you're here right now. Okay, cool. I know I'm like halfway teaching and halfway being light, but let's just take about 5 good seconds. You ought to have a shout every week.
Yes.
Every every time you come up in here, that is evidence that God cared enough about you today to let you navigate the hard moments of life, and you're here. God does care about what? All of it. God does care about your high blood pressure. God cares about disease. God cares about the whole deal. God cares so much about it that he looked in and knew exactly what's going on. Think about it. The designer of the whole body wants the thing to work. God says, I designed it all. And David says, guess what? I know that you know my inward parts. You were concerned so much that you set up my body. Listen to this. This is how you can translate this part. You set up my body, my life, and my purpose according to an exact number of days that you set. You designed my everything to be set according to a set number of days that you know. And you did that before I even came out one day. So God already knew how long I'd be here before my mama and daddy ever got together. And now that I'm here, I kind of asked God, how much longer do I have? But he ain't told me yet. But what I trust is that God has already put the right warranty on my being. So it's my job to what? Still do what? Proper maintenance to make sure that I'm able to what? Execute. I said something. It's still our job to what? We have to do things to make sure that there's maintenance done so that we can what? Execute what we are supposed to execute in this world. And we serve a God that knows what? All of it, and cares about all of it. Another element that's covered is, guess what? Our enemies. David said that he hated. Listen to what he's really saying. He said, I hate, despise, got no time for anybody who has no time and no holler for my God. Now, I want to take it a step further. Context. Think about who he was fighting on a regular basis. He was fighting Philistines on a regular basis. Think about the one big Philistine he fought, Goliath. What was the reason he went out there and squared up with Goliath? Because Goliath kept on what? Defaming the name of God. That's what he kept doing. He kept defaming the name of God. And as he kept doing that and watching people what? Sit to the side. He got upset and he said, what y'all doing? Y'all just going to let them talk about God like this? And that's when he stepped out. That's when he fought. Listen, y'all, you ought to have something in your spirit that says, I detest anything that attempts to speak out and be diametrically opposed to the things that God cares about. I said it earlier, I'll say it again. Church splits don't happen because of folk that ain't in church. Church splits happen because of people that say they love God, but they really do things that are diametrically opposed to what God cares about. What we're dealing with within our denomination is not the result of healthy and, you know, vigorous disagreement. What's happening is that we have people that forgot what God cared about. And they decided that what God cares about is less important than what we care about as a platform. Can I tell you once again, I detest anything that goes against the very nature of what God loves. God cares about you. God cares about me. God cares about those that are maligned. God cares about those that are disenfranchised. God cares about the hurting. God cares about anybody that needs a touch from heaven. And if we don't care about what God cares about, guess what, church? We find ourselves as the enemies of God. Be careful for what you wish for. Because what you and I will find out is that if we are not on the right side, not of history, not of a platform, but on the right side of what God cares about, we may find ourselves in opposition to the God of the universe. But the last thing that's covered is our destiny. So no matter what anybody says, does, or thinks towards you, your destiny is insured. David said, the God that I love and care about, God knows the number of days that I'm to live. God knows the intricate places of my being, my spirit, my body, my mind, my soul, my thoughts, my everything. But I also know that God recognizes things about me, and I recognize things about myself. That's why I have to ask the Lord this: search me. Know my thoughts. Try me. Check out my heart and see if there's anything in me that don't even look like you. And guess what? As you do that, lead me in the way you want me to go. You cannot live this life where you know that God has everything for you and God has a purpose for you and act as if you don't have to examine yourself from time to time. We don't get it right every day, y'all. Amen. Okay, can we just go ahead and unburden ourselves? Mm-hmm. Ain't gonna get it right every day. There's some folk that are gonna get on your nerves and they gonna catch you at the wrong time. Heck, some of y'all came in here and you probably already had that happen. But let's be like David in this regard. Hey, God, search me. Try my intentions. And if it don't look right, fix it. And lead me towards what you have destined for me. I promise you, God had you in mind when he was creating. And God is so good. God made sure that there was not one detail left out. God didn't leave out any details about you, and God didn't leave out any details about what needed to be covered as you live. So remember, the God you serve has already left no stone unturned. Amen. Amen. God bless you.